in your experience with him, you did get certain kinds of feelings from him because he had what? His other ways in which his so-called BTK code was being lived out at the office?
Oh, absolutely. Right from the very beginning, Dennis, when we entered things into the computer or if it was on paper, he always used codes, including in memos that he would give to me or give to the police department, which was a whole other department, or to the water department. And then he would give a little synopsis that went with it so the person who was reading his notes would know what those codes stood for.
Now, explain what this means.
Because I'm doing this.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I guess maybe we should explain a little bit about what the BTK codes were. Can you go over that with a brief synopsis?
Yeah, the BT, what I called that I worked with.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What I call them BTK codes now, since he's been arrested, and that was, I have a lot of anger about that because I used to complain about that all the time. Dennis had thousands and thousands of codes for everything. Let's say, for instance, the violation log. He would use VL for violation log and then the last two digits of the year, you know, for that violation.
Right.
You know, it was so bad. He had so many of these, and I mean thousands of them, that when he would give me a note, you know, I'd have to go to a book and go through it and spend, you know, hours trying to figure out his note. You know, it was always a puzzle for him.
And that seems like the way that the letters were being written to taunt the police?
Yes, yes. He
right.
used codes with them. However, those were never made public to the public. You know, they never released those codes. You know, it's amazing to me, had they released them, how many people besides myself would have experienced this? You know, prior to his capture, would have stepped forward and said, "Hey, it's him."
Yeah, that's pretty unique. That's sort of a thumbprint. I think you're right. I mean, I think there's something about that. I worked with a guy and he was otherwise normally sane, at least we were led to believe. But he would write, he would draw in all day long when, as part of his doodling, a series of triangles and squares. And he would just put them all in. It was almost like his own little binary code. And he will fill up whole pages of triangles and squares. And I just thought, if I ever saw that on a serial killer's letter to a police department, I would be raising my hand going, okay, I know who that is. I mean,
exactly. It's
pretty unique.
But there was so much stuff that was not released to the public till after his arrest. And, you know, and the reason why they gave was they didn't want copycats. And,
right.
You know, that makes sense. But, you know, the thing is he was right under their nose for 30 years.
So tell me about that little side comment you made about why you thought in 2004 he started to send notes again to the police.
Well, everybody's theory is that he reemerged and he started re-communicating and that he had gone dormant, you know, so to speak, until 2004. I don't think he ever went dormant. You know, he may not have been communicating, but in 2001, I walked up on his truck out in the parking lot to tell him I had locked everything up in the office, and laying in the seat next to him was a picture of a blonde in a bra. And, you know, I was a little shocked and taken back. You know, I was like, oh, gross. You know, you know, it's like walking up on somebody with a Playboy or something, and
right.
He's got this picture next to him, but he made no attempt to hide it. Covered up or anything. You know, I told a few other people about it, you know, and I said, hey, Dennis is a little bit on the weird side.
Right.
And, you know, then during his sentencing hearing in 2005, August of 2005, it comes to light that he has thousands of these pictures that he's cut out of magazines. He's either licked the underwear off of them or he's erased them off of them, but he has thousands of these pictures, and he calls them slicks. He gives them names, calls them his girlfriends, and they go on patrol with him.
Now,
he recommunicated in 2004, but yet I walked up on that truck in 2001. He was still trolling. He was still doing all the creepy, weird things that created the mind that he had, that, you know, of a subhuman.
Right. And I want to go back to that. So he didn't have, like, porno pictures per se with the underwear already off of the women, but women who he was clipping out of, say, what, like at Sears ads for ladies' underwear, that kind of a thing?
Yeah, out of you know, Sunday Sell ads and out of magazines.
That's so
weird.
And
then he was licking the picture or licking the clothing off of them.
That's so strange. That's so weird. That's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
You would really think he was weird and strange.
Yeah, well, so how did you, I mean, did you ever have your fear that you would become a victim or that you somehow avoided an attack from him?
Well, the first 5 years that I worked with Dennis, you know, if you knew me real well, you'd know that I'm a real opinionated, I'm strong-willed, and I don't back down or give up. In that first 5 years, I stood my ground with him. I complained every day. I filed my grievances. You know, I did what I had to do. But I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of running me off.
Well, let's back up for a second. What grievances about what? Help me out with that.
About his treatment towards me. He was a bully.
What would he say? Typically, what would he do?
You know, it's not so much what he would say as his actions. And his actions were to put fear in me, to intimidate me, to belittle me, you know, like jabbing at a notebook and just keep pushing at it and speaking and asking me a question, but keep talking and not allowing me an opportunity to answer the question, just to stand there and just belittle me and put me beneath him. And it was this type of behavior. But how do you repeat that to a superior and say, this is what he did? And, you know, you're exaggerating that, Mary. You know, no, I wasn't, you know. And they tell me, carry a tape recorder. Well, you know what? I need to carry a camcorder.
Right.
You know?
Because it was more the way he looked at you and his gestures.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you would go to, you would file a grievance, and then how would he react to that?
Well, you know, my very first grievance that I filed with his superior, and only to have it kicked back to me and told that I had to file it with Dennis. And I said, but it's about Dennis. And he said, but it's in the personnel policy manual. This is how you have to do it. And I said, well, I take exception to that because how can he objectively, you know, review a complaint about himself?
Right.
They stood their ground, and that's the way it stayed. And it's the way it still is.
Did you ever feel like there was one moment where you really saw that maybe, as you look back on it, that might have been your time, but the circumstances just weren't right for this lucky, if we're going to use that word, somewhat bumbling serial killer to get away with your crime?
Exactly. Yep, it sure was. And he was already, this was in May of 2004, he had already started re-communicating with the police department and the news media. Although I didn't know it, I knew that there was a change in his personality. But on this one particular day, he and I were going at it. I had my back to him, heard the door shut, and I turned around. He was standing in front of the door. He had locked it, and it was my only exit out. And I said, Dennis, open the door. He wouldn't open it, and I more forcefully and louder, Dennis, open the door. And he still wouldn't open it, so I got behind my desk really quick, got over to the telephone, and started intercomming for help, for somebody to come back there. He never said anything. It was just the look on his face and him starting to move towards me that just put the sheer fear in me.
I bet.
And at that point in time that I was on the phone trying to get somebody back there, he reached over, unlocked the door, opened it, went and sat at his desk like nothing happened. It was like a complete transformation. It was like you could almost watch somebody wipe a chalkboard. I mean, how do you make somebody understand?